Yeah, we'll probably go a little bit over time. That is what we're going to do. I did actually plan that I would be a little bit shorter this morning. I'm actually about 3 inches shorter than I was 25 years ago, for whatever that's worth. Last week we got into this particular section, and we talked about the Word of God being living and powerful. And the writer goes immediately from it being living and powerful, being able to do all of these things, to describing the Word of God, and he describes it as sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, anytime you run across things that are these sort of descriptive phrases and things, it's always good to consider, why is it described that way? Why use that particular way of describing the Word of God? The simple literal meaning of the Greek, as I thought it was really funny, is two-mouthed. Well, we read it as we translate it as a two-edged sword. The literal meaning is two-mouthed. It's actually, whenever it uses that two-mouthed, it's talking about a two-edged sword, and so it's always translated as two-edged. That's what it obviously means. But I thought that was an interesting quirk. Utterly irrelevant to anything in the message, but I thought you would find that a little bit entertaining. So we have the Word of God, which is living. It is powerful. It's able to accomplish things. And now it is sharper than any two-edged sword. Why a two-edged sword? So I got to thinking about swords. And having the sons that I have, thinking about swords allows me to come up with swords. This is a single-edged sword. Now, with a single-edged sword, you notice it's got a cutting edge, it's got a back, it's kind of got a curve to it, and a single-edged sword is used to strike. It's a slashing, cutting weapon. And it is used primarily in most effectively, maybe even from cavalry, but it's intended to cut downward. And it's to cut against a group of people or whatever. It's a rather aggressive, if you think about it. There, you swing this thing, and I'm trying to, I don't know how far this thing reaches. Okay. I really don't want to be too close to my wife as I'm waving this around. When you think, you know, you swing this thing, it covers a lot of territory. And you can get that moving really, really fast. And it really hits hard. And it really cuts. I'm not going to prune the flowers or anything, folks. You're okay. But the single-edged sword was not the sword that you would have seen around where the letter to the Hebrews is written. It's written into the Roman Empire. And in the Roman Empire, you wouldn't see this kind of a sword being used. What you would see is a two-edged sword. Now, there were single-edged swords that were used, but the common Roman military sword is what was called a gladius. This is not a gladius, but it's very close to a gladius. If we took this and made it just a little bit shorter and a little bit fatter, it would be about like a Roman gladius. This is a two-edged sword. It has a cutting edge on both sides. Now, I've heard sermons about the Word being like a two-edged sword for a lot of years. And virtually every single one of them talks about the fact that it cuts on both sides. So you can cut forward and you can cut backwards. Now, for reasons which had nothing to do with this lesson, I got watching a YouTube video a while back about medieval sword fighting. And I learned something, that the two edges on the sword are not used that way. Have you ever played tennis? Played tennis, okay. Which is stronger, your forehand or your backhand? Your forehand is always stronger. That's where your power is. And so your two-edged sword, if you're going to use the cutting edge of your two-edged sword, you're always using it in the same way. But a two-edged sword is different from your single-edged sword, because the two-edged sword, the Roman gladius, was not intended to be a slashing and chopping weapon. It's what we describe technically as a pokey stabby weapon. You didn't know that was a technical term, did you? It has a sharp point. Now, that one's got a sharp point, but because that is a curved blade, when you stab, the point is not necessarily where you think it is. In other words, the center line of the balance of the blade does not go through the point of the blade on that curved sword. On a straight double-edged sword, the center line of your balance goes right through the point of the sword. At the time of the Roman Empire, armor was becoming fairly common in soldiers. The armor was made up frequently of either leather, that was multiple layers of leather that were hard tanned, or occasionally metal plates and different things joined together by leather. Now, one of the things about that armor was that it was really a pretty good protection against a slash. In other words, if you cut against somebody wearing armor, you know, it hits and there's a plate there and there's a plate here and it kind of glances off that. But there's a gap between the different armor plates. And so you thrust with this stabby pointy thingy that's at the end of the sword, and it goes between the plates of the armor. The thing is that two-edged sword, it's not about cutting in both directions. It's about the fact that the Roman gladius was intended to be a precision weapon, that you could hit a precise spot. And the fact that it's a little bit shorter actually helps, is that when you're fighting somebody and you've got your shield and stuff, you can drive that into a precise spot. You can go between the plates of the armor. You can get them someplace where they're not protected, and that point cuts in and it cuts into them. That's what you do with swords, is you cut into people. That's kind of graphic, but whatever. So your two-edged sword is not talking about the two edges cutting back and forth, but about the fact that we have a precision weapon that hits a specific spot and hits it accurately and precisely. And so when we go into this passage here, okay, I got to put something down. I can't hold all of these things simultaneously. When we go into this passage and we look at the way that the word is described, and it talks about the word being sharper than any two-edged sword, he's referring to that accuracy, that power, that ability that the two-edged sword has to be an effective weapon against armor, to penetrate and cut where you want it to. And so he said, the word of God is living, it's powerful, and now it is an accurate attacker. It's able to get to where it needs to go to do what it's going to do. Well, last week we talked about the fact that God says that his word that he sends out, it doesn't return to him void. It does the thing that he sends it out to do. And so here, the word is going to accomplish that. It is accurate and precise in its ability to strike, and its ability to get to that important thing. And so he says, it is this precision weapon, this two-edged sword, which is sharp enough to pierce even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. Now, here again, we've got great descriptive things. And when you hit these great descriptive things, we've got to get a little bit descriptive and figure out what's going on with them. Soul and spirit. It always sounds so good. It rolls off the tongue. And so I was looking up the words and looking up the Greek and seeing where they are. And we've got two different Greek words. And actually, if you want to get into the Greek and you see that soul is what comes out of its psyche, which we get into like psychiatry and such like. And spirit comes from pneumonos, the wind, the breath, and the word is usually used talking about the Holy Spirit. But when you look at the definitions, it says under soul, part of the definition is that soul is the spirit. And part of the definition of spirit, it says the soul. And so they are defined exactly the same way. And so you've got two words here, soul and spirit, which don't really seem to have much difference. I love things like that. It just makes it so much more challenging to figure out what the writer is trying to say with stuff. But there's maybe a little bit of a cultural thing that goes on in that that's beyond just the strict definition. Because the term soul is used in a sense where it would be the things which are, let's just say, human. They're the things which are the physical being, the things which are characteristic of us as living people. Whereas spirit is the eternal, is maybe the thing which goes beyond. It's what makes us that in the image of God. And so we've kind of got this distinction there culturally in the way the words are used, more than in terms of their real definition. But what does it mean that a two-edged sword, which is able to pierce between soul and spirit, what does it mean that this is able to cut accurately in between and hit that point? You know, and he makes it maybe even a little bit less clear by then talking about going between the joints and marrow. Because, of course, the marrow is what's on the inside of the bone. The joints is between the bones. You know, what's really the connection here? Why does this make a good illustration? And what is he trying to say in that? I occasionally have to fall back on the fact that writers like to use language which flows well, which sounds good. And to some extent, I think that's what we've got here. His major point is that we have, in the Word of God, we have something which is a precise, powerful, living, accurate operator that can get into where it needs to get in us to do something. That he's able to penetrate in and make that distinction between those things that we do as people and those things that we should know as believers. Remember, this whole thing, this whole discussion about the word here is springing out of the failure of the children of Israel to go into the promised land. Their failure to listen to God telling Moses and telling them through Moses that this land was given to them, that God would drive out the enemies, he would make it possible for them to take that land. They didn't listen. They did not allow the Word of God to work in them. And they lost out. They lost their opportunity to go into that promised land, that land of rest. And so that's the springboard that brings us into this. He says, the Word of God, it's living, it's powerful. It can cut into you in a precise way exactly to where it needs to go. It can make that division between the things that are of the world, the things that are maybe natural in us, and the things that are spiritual. It can show us what we should be. And I think that's one of the characteristics in here, is that the Word is showing the difference. It's defining that difference for us. And so as we look at the description of the Word of God as being that two-edged sword that's able to drive into a precise point exactly where God wants it to go, and to let us know where we are, we're being soulish. Let's say that soul is those things that are of the human nature side of us, and where are we spiritual? That the Word of God can drive right into those places and make that distinction in us and make it clear to us that we need to listen and allow the Word of God to show us what we should be doing and what we should not be doing. We need to let the Word of God get in there and cut us apart, in a sense, because it's able to. I don't know about you, but I frequently find myself reading passages of Scripture and I don't know if I'd say regretting that I'm in them, but certainly feeling somewhat struck down by them, that they are speaking pretty harshly to me. Sometimes I feel like God knows exactly what I need to hear, and He's giving it to me. And you know what? God knows exactly what I need to hear, and He is giving it to me. And He's giving it to me with the precision of that two-edged sword, that surgical scalpel-like cut that goes in exactly to the point where it needs to go and reveals exactly what God wants it to reveal. Those Israelites who stood at the gates, and I always kind of envision, you know, here's the promised land, the great big gates, and they stood at the gates and they looked and they said, that looks really risky in there, and they didn't try to open the gates and go in. They failed because they didn't listen to the Word of God. They didn't let the Word of God work in them. They didn't allow it to cut in them. And if you go back, and of course we've been studying in Exodus on our Wednesday Bible study, and so I've been reading a lot of these things, is that the Word of God was pretty cutting. But a lot of the time the people didn't let it cut. They wouldn't allow it to do that work. Now a two-edged sword is not a surgeon's scalpel, but the principle of cutting to heal, cutting to make better, is maybe embedded in this, that we need that division. We need the Word of God to show us where we have to separate ourselves from that worldly side of who we are. How do we make that distinction? How do we make that separation? We are facing every day the kind of decisions that the Word can give us the answer to. The Word is always there. It's always living. It's always powerful. It always has this ability to cut into us right to where we need to be touched. But we have to let it. Unlike the poor soldier on the wrong end of that sword who has no choice in that, God does not assault us with His Word. He doesn't drive it into us against our will. In fact, we can close our eyes and our ears to what He's trying to do. And we blunt the sword. It has no point. It's no longer sharp because we're not listening to it. We're not learning it. We're not studying it. We're not letting it speak to us. And when we do that, we find ourselves right in the same camp as all those Israelites who stood at the promised land and weren't able to go in. The Word of God, living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. We need to let it cut. Let it cut you and show you that distinction. Let it show you what you need to do, who you need to be, how you need to live. His Word will show us when we let it. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You that You've given us a Word which is absolutely powerful, able, capable, living. And Lord, I pray that You would just give us the Spirit to allow it to work in us. I pray, Lord, that You would let us have an open heart to Your messages, that we would hear them, that we would respond to them, and that we would allow You to change us and to work us over by Your Word. Just give us that Spirit, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.